This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Oh, hello, everyone, and welcome to Lucha Afterground. It's the premier Lucha Underground show on the web. My name is Max, and coming to me from across the city is my pal,
Travis. Hey, guys.
Hello, everyone. man, can't get too busy for studio time. It's a long weekend here in Vancouver.
Yeah. Life gets in the way, man. But we're getting it done.
That's right. We are committed to the cause of documenting our own opinions about this obscure wrestling show.
Yeah, with some real obscurity, like some throwback obscurity today.
Oh my god. Yeah, we'll get to that. In terms of news and notes, anything on your mind, Trav?
I can't think of anything. I heard your beloved Tomohiro Ishii, not New Age Underground related, but had a barn burner last night in the G1.
Man, I am so far behind in the G1. I haven't watched anything since night two.
Yeah, which I is heard like, this was the best night of the tournament.
Oh god, that's my.
I thought I'd beat you to the punch and mention Japanese wrestling first.
Fair. That's fair. Yeah. My wife is going out of town for a couple of weeks, so I'm planning on just binging the G1 over the course of a couple of days. Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Cool.
I forced a friend of mine to watch a Microman match last night. I really thought that was going to go over huge, but he's too much of a snowflake. He couldn't handle the fact that
a little person was.
I know. Being exploited.
But being entertaining. No,
you and I are on the same page.
Yeah, interesting.
Anyways, let's head over into, let's dive deep into the world of Lucha Underground. Episode 8?
Season 4, episode 8.
Yeah.
Really interesting recap to start with that. What the heck?
I know.
Big Rick, where the hell did that come from?
I was very confused. I was, for a second, because I didn't remember that scene ever taking place.
Me neither. And, so long ago.
Yeah, for a second I was like, am I watching the wrong episode? Did I miss a week?
I know.
Did Big Rick come back last week and I somehow screwed this up?
Yeah, I don't even remember them, because the Max said he was his cousin?
Yeah.
I didn't remember that connection. That's crazy.
Yeah. So definitely something was going to happen with Big Rick. Now, immediately when I saw Big Rick on this, I was like, now hold on a second, guys. Big Rick was killed by Matanza in the comic books.
In the comic books, yeah.
So
it was by Matanza or was it by Mil Muertes?
No, it was by Matanza.
Interesting. There's a whole little story there as to how things got into Katrina's hands. Who knows?
I know. I think, I got a sneaking suspicion they just forgot about the comic books might not be as canon as we want them to be.
Or they're looking for someone to write a short miniseries about how Big Rick's body got into the hands of Katrina.
Oh, fantastic.
And we are available.
That's right. If you want to do it in like rhyming prose.
Yeah.
Then it could be like a little children's book. We did that on my other podcast.
Yeah.
Jenny wrote a children's book about feeding mashed potatoes to giraffes, and it went over like gangbusters.
That's great. So, that's great.
There you go.
Okay, something to think about.
Something to consider.
Yeah, and then they remind us of the feud between Worldwide Underground and the Reptile Tribe, which definitely heated up this week.
Oh my god!
And Cage versus Pentagon, and the Gift of the Gods Championship going to Dragon Azteca Jr.
Mm.
We enter the ring to the sweet sounds of Metalachi singing a song called Lucha, which was great. I don't think we need to sing The Man in the Wedge because Old Pigtails is back again.
That's right.
She is again. We didn't see her as much other than that opening shot as much as we did last week.
And when you say, it's important, I think, that when you say Old Pigtails, we don't mean
not
old,
like
old isn't familiar. Yeah, we mean this is an older woman. Yeah, it's very weird.
Vamp and Matt Stryker had matching bomber jackets this week.
Loved them.
Yeah, looks sharp.
Mm-hmm.
And they bring up the tag match with Cage and Pentagon about, I guess this is the first we'd heard of it, that the two of them were deciding their partners, so that was something to look forward to. And that leads us to our first match. Daga with Cobra Moon versus PJ Black. And I don't know what you're thinking as soon as this thing started, but me, I said, I'm going to be watching those gloves this whole goddamn match. And it definitely got interesting.
The gloves were black, and it made it hard. I was trying to keep a close eye on them, but because they're black, the fingers don't quite stand out, you know?
Well, we were able, by the end of the match, we were able to cut we knew it was 1 of 10. Now we know it's 1 of 5 for sure, because he took one glove off.
Oh, didn't even realize.
Right?
Yeah.
So we're getting there. We went from 10% to 20%, right?
Now, it might be worthwhile to remind people why we are curious about Darewolf's fingers. It's because
everyone's very familiar with Justin, or, you know, PJ Black's, what is his real name? Not Justin Gabriel. That's what WWE gave him. I wonder.
Could be PJ Black, why not?
Maybe. He was in a cliff jumping accident, wasn't
Yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Lost a finger at a pretty scary thing, and ever since then he's been in gloves, but we just don't know which finger it is.
That's right. Now, is this confirmed or is this a rumor?
Yes, I'm sure it's confirmed, man. Why would he have gloves on now if it was just a rumor? Is he just playing off of these internet things? I don't think so. I don't think. Until we see him remove both gloves, which for a second, I thought I was going to see it.
They should have the Reptile Tribe hold his hand out and like, you know, cut off one of his fingers.
Well, hey, there's a receipt to be cashed here. I think that could happen.
No kidding. Wow. It's still crazy.
This was an interesting match. A good chain stuff into the strength spot from PJ Black. The really cool kind of pendulum submission hold that he got him into as he pushed him into the turnbuckle, and then this is when the first glove came off. I'm like, oh, here we go. Starts delivering chops. Yeah, he missed that moonsault off of the
thing there.
Yeah, that didn't even look like Daga had to move. That was a weird, almost something.
Now, if you were going to try to do a moonsault in an actual fight, I think that kind
of
thing would happen.
Of
where
course.
You would just miss by a mile.
Yeah, I totally misjudged that. I'm running on pure adrenaline right now.
No kidding.
I would love to see someone like a real fight. And then a guy just got like, he got up on top of a, I don't know, like
dumpster.
A garbage bin dumpster in the back alley and went for a moonsault, missed it entirely. That changed the momentum of this scrap. He did not recover.
He broke some of his own ribs.
Yeah.
Got the wind knocked out of him.
Face was a bloody mess.
Oh,
it was
God.
Like, noticed a lot of edits in this match, but it was still good. Daga with that nice DDT that led into that chokehold. The dead crowd, but then we led to that nice dragon sleeper from PJ Black.
Man, the dragon sleeper is one of those moves. Like, listen, I know that, you know, wrestling moves are not, they hurt, but they don't hurt. You know what I mean? But
yep.
The dragon sleeper is just one of those moves. I'm like, if somebody were to put me in that, I'm pretty sure they would break my back. Like, just looks so painful.
Or it'd hurt. It would really hurt. Yeah. There was a lot of like neck work between the two of them tonight. I thought it was just, an interesting style choice. I was getting more into it as it went. It was just really evenly matched. Eventually led to that really unique wrist lock from Daga for the win.
I liked how they zoomed in on that wrist lock too. They did some, that was nice. It was compliment the commentary that was going on as well. I thought that was a nice thing. I think, I love it anytime that the production can kind of highlight the moves like that.
Yeah.
That was super cool. One other thing I want to mention that I liked about the commentary in this is that they took a moment to sort of address like the punch versus the slap in wrestling. They reminded us that a punch is technically illegal,
but
this is a, you know, they're very lax on the rules, and that a slap, even though it might not hurt as much as a punch or a forearm, is insulting, and it gets the other person like angry.
Yeah, that's nice.
I loved it. I love it.
Like, kind of 101, psychology 101 for the audience. So anyways, he keeps the hold on, and Green Drago enters with his friends. So that makes just the two outfits, green and yellow, I believe. And Worldwide Underground eventually come in to make the save. who's the baby face here is what I was thinking.
I was thinking the exact same thing. Because yeah. It does not feel right to have Worldwide Underground be the baby faces. And this has gone on for this. I was kind of disappointed that this was continuing. I mean, this is for eight. This has been a feud that's been going for 8 episodes now. Mm. It feels like they are. It's going to end next, I hope, next episode. Unless, yeah. I guess, I don't know. It's going to be really weird to see what happens. Also, this is the first time I ever felt like they were suddenly saying that the Reptile Tribe wanted Johnny Mundo. Like, had that ever come up before?
I feel like Cobra Moon had said something about it before. But that was pretty good. But also, again, that's like Ricky came in late and he got beat down. That was a good little, the way he kind of tripped over the top rope. Still no Jack Evans. They keep having to explain him away, but I'm sure he's just double booked, right? And then they added all like the snake stuff with him. They bring in the kendo sticks to Vibora. That was pretty relentless.
I like that.
Yeah, me too. Some foreshadowing for perhaps. Cobra Moon gets on the mic, and this is, again, some really weird edits here, but she was good.
This whole promo back and forth between Cobra Moon and Johnny Mundo seems super weird and over, like I don't know if they had to do a bunch of different takes or what, but the Cobra Moon's like delivery seemed good, but even Johnny Mundo's delivery seemed very weird and stilted.
It sounded different. Way different.
Yeah. It was all cut together in a very, very strange way. Uh-huh. It's almost as if that whole exchange was like 3 times as long and they cut it
down. I think so.
It was like watching an episode of Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. It's this is a 4-hour conversation they've had and they blended it down to like 15 minutes.
Sure. And then to hide the cuts, we'll throw in these crowd reactions through the whole thing.
Exactly.
Yeah, it was really clunky. But anyways, Johnny Mundo calls her Medusa, and he cuts a babyface promo, a clear babyface promo. Cobra Moon, like I said, she had a good read, but it felt like it was cut to shit. And really interesting stipulations either way is, so if in this upcoming tag match, if Reptile Tribe wins, Johnny Mundo becomes a member of the Reptile Tribe. Yeah. If Worldwide Underground wins, Cobra Moon gets to grant them a wish.
I know. Is she a genie?
I know. I can't think of anywhere else where that would be. No, that makes sense. You know, any other wrestling organization.
It's like, since when can she grant wishes? And if she can grant wishes, grant some.
How come this is just showing up now? It's
super weird.
I know.
Super, super weird. I accept it. I mean, whatever.
I know.
Especially if the Reptile Tribe wins, then it doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. Or it'd be kind of nice, though, to know, like, what would the Worldwide Underground
wish for? Yeah.
And then there would be some extra stakes.
Yeah.
But super weird.
I know.
But whatever. At this point.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. But like I said, either way, it could end up being something interesting. And as I said, you can't see a stipulation like that being kind of believable anywhere else. Maybe DDT, right? Where they win the belts in dreams and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, totally.
That's about it.
Is it Johnny Mundo that gets to make a wish, or is it?
Good question.
Because I could see maybe somehow Ricky Mundo, somehow his doll getting involved with the wish thing. I don't know. Like, Worldwide Underground gets one wish, and then
Rosa's like, we want 1,000 more wishes!
Yeah.
And that's just every episode from that point on is just them making more wishes. Just by the end, they've just got everything. There's no point in having these matches. Okay. Wait, they just wished it away again.
I wish I could get my left index finger back.
Yeah, that's good. Anywho, we cut to the backstage locker room. The Max in the locker room, and Katrina.
No, hold on a second. No, we should dwell on the fact that they set up a 4-on-4. Right?
And now it might not be a 4-on-4.
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. It's a 4-on-4 match.
Yeah.
Reptile Tribe versus Worldwide Underground.
Mm-hmm.
for next week. Next week, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that means it's Mundo or Ricky, right? Because it won't be Jack. He still won't fight snakes. So in a way, it's like kind of 3.5. The way he's played up is like a bumbling fool. I can still see. I'm leaning towards Reptile Tribe.
Really?
Yeah.
Even though they're potentially...
especially after the way today ended, I think if we were supposed to see them as baby faces, maybe this is kind of clever kind of booking of them playing with who's who. Because I think at the end, even though they're presenting it, well, I mean, we'll talk about it. I think we're supposed to now. Like, why would you not start to support the team who's undermanned, right?
Yeah. Totally. I mean, that mm-hmm. makes sense. And I think that Drago's story is still, you know, that he's a brainwashed mm-hmm. baby face. So mm-hmm. Maybe that comes to fruition in this. Mm. And then there's also, I don't know, I really wonder if that doll situation will...
Sure, why not?
Yeah, it's funny. Yeah, I think you're right that Reptile Tribe makes more sense just because otherwise they have to grant a wish.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how are you going to do that?
I want Drago's freedom. That's all we've been fighting for this whole time.
Hard face turn by the Worldwide Underground.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah. So we go to the locker room. The Mac's in there. Katrina enters. She says Mil Muertes is coming for him, so that's good. This feud is advancing as we had hoped. And Max says, yeah, he scares the shit out of me, but he's not backing down. And she opens up the locker room, and it's Big Rick's skull. And you know how you know? It's because there's a cigar and an eye patch on the skull. Of course. Like, I love that the Mac just, like, knew right away, you know? Like, he's not like, oh, what are you trying to say here? What's the message? Yeah. But that was it. So that's why. So there we see why they had brought up Big Rick at the beginning, just to kind of remind us that he's dead, and as we said, somehow got into the heads of Katrina and Mil Muertes. Mm-hmm.
Now I thought for sure this is going to set up some sort of Mil Muertes interference in the trios match.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, no, they got their own shit to deal with. I can see that kind of dissension working its way into the Mill and Mac feud, maybe, or like one of their matches, like would end up ruining it for the Mac or something, maybe something like that. I don't know.
Yeah,
because what we saw today, I think for sure, or I'm quite confident they are building to like some sort of really kind of crazy three-way match with them at Ultima Lucha Cuatro.
Three-way between who?
Between Killshot, Son of Havoc, and the Mac.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's what I don't understand is how does Mil factor into all this?
I think he's just kind of got this kind of side feud going with the Mac that whatever might like kind of put Mac over. It's like, oh my God, he's standing up to this monster. And then somehow, you know, maybe Killshot F's things up for him and he ends up losing just to build some more dissension, right? Until they eventually, they'll lose the strap to somebody and then the three of them will face off.
Yeah, that's interesting.
That's what I think.
Yeah, makes sense. That could work for sure.
Yeah.
Still no sign of a Phoenix or a Jeremiah Crane return either.
No.
I would be shocked if Phoenix is just done.
Yeah, no, I think Phoenix will come back for sure. I don't think Jeremiah Crane will. I think we've talked about this mm-hmm. a couple times. Anyways, Dragon Azteca Jr. with an in-ring promo. He's fired up. He brings up his ancestors from the Eagle Tribe, says he will defend the title until Ultima Lucha Cuatro. I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah.
This is a good little fired up babyface push with him that this promo really worked. Half English, half Spanish.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. Did what they needed to do.
I really like the idea of him continuing to defend the title. It elevates that title. It means also that we don't have to go back and do more medallion stuff.
Yep.
It's awesome.
Yeah, kind of doing the John Cena open challenge thing. It's a good fit for him, for sure. Next match for the Trios Championship.
Oh, wait, we got to talk about his hoodie.
Oh, yeah, okay.
God,
of course.
It's a beautiful
hoodie. How could I have been so stupid? What?
Tell me about it. Embroidered dragon on the back and went up to the hood. It was really nice.
Okay. I guess I was watching on a smaller screen. I should have paid more attention to that.
Just on the back. It was just on the back. You only got to see a couple of glimpses of it. But it was nice. Also, I really like just like luchadors and masks and like a hoodie and jeans.
And a hoodie.
That's cool. It's cool.
Yeah. It's casual. Casual.
Totally. I want to see Pentagon Jr. in his casuals.
Yeah, for sure. Sweatpants and like you know, kind of a dirty hoodie.
Oh yeah.
Hey, what's up? Anyways, next match for the Trios Championship: the Rabbit Tribe, Paul London, Sal Tudor, and Mala Suerte versus Killshot, Son of Havoc, and the Mac. Right away, that dissension is teased again between the Trios champs. Vampiro with a nice little kind of history on the rabbit and its attachment to violence.
I don't know what the hell he was talking about.
It was pretty weird. Maybe it made sense. I don't know. Whatever.
Something about a movie called Big Rabbit or something?
A Scorsese movie. It sounds like a really early one in Italian, I think. I don't know. I'd never heard of it.
Yeah. Definitely grasping at straws on that
one. Yeah, I thought so. Right away, early blind tag rattles Killshot, so that's good. They just keep building that up. Sal Tudor here, a good blue chipper, this guy.
I think he's, so.
An important ensemble piece.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Important piece of the ensemble.
He had a lot of nice little moves in this.
Yep. And, you know, it'll be a shame when he gets sacrificed eventually. So maybe he will, maybe he won't, but he just feels like he's ripe for that. That's where those blue chippers go.
Yeah.
To the blue chipper bin, to the blue wood chipper bin. Paul London with more of that really good subtle heel work we've been seeing from him since he turned to this kind of dark side. Mac enters and really gets the crowd going, as he does with his offense as always. Things start to get a little messy outside on the ring here, but I think it was on purpose. Like, everyone just kind of kept missing their spots until finally Mala Suerte hit the flip onto everybody.
Mm-hmm. I think that's interesting because Mala Suerte's sort of gimmick is like bad luck, right? And it ended with him connecting. So maybe
he's the only one.
Maybe that's sort of like what they're trying to imply there.
When the stars are not aligned with everyone, then they are aligned with the guy who is jinx. Usually.
And there has been a bit of a like inversion of the Rabbit Tribe as well, right?
Very good.
Yes.
Interesting. I like it. This led to the spot of the match, maybe the spot of the night. Good struggle in the corner. Leads to that five-way Tower of Doom. Great stuff. The crowd is really hot for this.
Mm-hmm.
Double stomp into Son of Havoc with a double stomp into his moonsault. Killshot with doing these awesome double stomps all over the ring, off the apron, then on the Mala Suerte. This is really picking up. Killshot gets caught with a cutter, leads to Mac hitting a stunner, and then a blind tag from Killshot to steal the pin for the win. Really good trios match, advancing plot. I thought these first two matches easily. I'm not dropping snowflakes, but they're somewhere in the 2.5 star range, and that's all you ask for these kind of openers. Good, stare down between the three afterwards. I like Killshot kind of handing them the titles and stuff. And so I expect this to lead to a three-way at Ultima Lucha Cuatro.
Yeah, I think so for sure. Although a three-way is a little strange because I don't think there's any real dissension between Son of Havoc and the Mac.
Right? But it's still early. That could open up somehow. That could lead to like some ultimate betrayal or something.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't see it being a standard just three-way. I expect there to be, you know, ladders or something else involved, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe you could branch it off and have, do we really think Dante Fox is just not coming back? Because I could see like Dante Fox coming back, and then you pair up him and Killshot versus the Mac and Son of Havoc as an Ultima Lucha Cuatro match.
I got it. Cool. Now we're talking. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I see Dante Fox was just announced for the most recent, or AR Fox was just announced for the most recent Evolve show. I saw him on the list there, so that's where he is now.
I got. I was curious about Paul London after watching this episode, so I went and took a look at, you know, how active is he right now? You know what I mean? And he really is not wrestling very much.
Mm-hmm.
so far in 2018, we're in month seven. He's only had 6 recorded matches, and, you know, several of which have been in Lucha Underground. It doesn't really seem like, it's almost like he's hobby wrestling or something at
the
moment.
I think so too. How old is, I think he's like semi-retired. How old is he?
He is 38 years old, I guess. I wonder if he has a, do you think that, you know, he had a pretty significant run in WWE. It looks like 2003, yeah. 2008. Yeah. I mean, wrestling hundreds of matches in. If you put in 5 years in WWE full time, do you think that your residuals are enough that you don't really need to have a day job after that?
I don't think they get residuals.
You don't get any residuals?
I don't think so. I think this has been something that they've kind of been behind the scenes. You've seen some older wrestlers fighting for, and I think so far losing in court. Huh. I think it's still something that they're figuring out. But I do not think wrestlers get residuals.
Huh. I wonder what London is doing then. How is he paying his bills?
I think I feel like he's kind of like kind of wrestler coach kind of thing.
Like he could be teaching,
maybe training. Yeah. But I do think he's semi-retired, and this is just kind of, you know, passion project, or just kind of, you know, working with old friends kind of thing. But he's great. He's awesome. Yeah, like his tag run with Brian Kendrick was awesome in WWE. They were champs for a while.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Yeah.
Cool.
Break.
Yes, this is break. Let's take a moment to hear from our pals at Place to Be Nation.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Hey, pro wrestling announcer Kevin Kelly here. I want to make sure you are all subscribed to all the great feeds here at Place to Be Nation. It's really easy to do. Just head to iTunes or your preferred podcatcher app today and search and subscribe to the Place to Be Nation wrestling feed, which, of course, includes the full archives of the Kevin Kelly Show, the Place to Be Nation pod feed, and the Pro Wrestling Only feed. Subscribe, listen, and then rate us and leave feedback today. And be sure to give Justin your true thoughts. I mean, don't hold back. After all, he is kind of a jerk. Just listen to Scott.
Place for Nations, JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have a ton of great podcasts available to you on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceforNation.com. We offer them to you on 2 great feeds. On the Place for Nation wrestling feed, we bring you the Mothership, the Place to Be podcast, along with Main Event, Survey Says, the Monday Night Wars, and our monthly pay-per-view reaction show, as well as Jeff Learns Wrestling. In addition to these full-length shows, we also deliver special network podcasts and pod blasts on topics old and new.
Over on the Pro Wrestling Only feed, we dive deep inside the wrestling business with a stacked army of experts leading the way. The feed features potpourri shows such as This Week in Wrestling, Greetings from Allentown, Match of the Week podcasts, and the Military Industrial Suplex. We also have shows that focus intently on certain topics like Through the Years, Worldcast, Strong Style History, Strong Style Story, and Mount Olympus. Plus, the feed has the full archives of legendary shows like Titans of Wrestling, Where the Big Boys Play, Letters from Center Stage, and Letters from Kayfabe, plus much more. And on our very popular Place to Be Nation Pop podcast feed, we offer such great shows as Talking Pop, the Glenn Butler Podcast Hour Spectacular, NBA Team, PTBN Play, Sunday Groove, Breaking Balls, and Lucha Undead,
as well as a veritable podcast heaven for comics fans
with the Hard Traveling Fanboys, Sellers Points, Todd Weber's Conversations, Geek and Sassy, and Marvel Age Podcasts.
You can find all of these current shows, plus archives of our past podcasts, including the Kevin Kelly Show, as well by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback today. All these shows, plus others, available at PlaceForNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects, and more. Be sure to support our site by using PlaceForNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping, and download our free PTB Vintage Vault Refresh eBooks via the links on our site. We also want to thank our friends at Boneheads Wing Bar in West Warwick, Rhode Island, and Fall River, Massachusetts, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceForNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Ring the bell.
God, Travis, I'm almost scared to ask. Do you have a Man of War Art of Weapons thing?
Not this week. Not this week.
I think the people will all breathe a sigh of relief that that is the case.
Ah, come on. Well, I think, like, no, I mean, eventually I'm going to have to move on to the other screeners and check out some of these other shows. yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I do want to kind of see how things wrap up here. With Man of Arms Out of War, if it kind of evolves anything, or if it's just repeating again.
You know, sure, it's not going to evolve.
I know. I think I'm giving it way too much credit. But I would like to look at, like, some of those director's chairs. They actually look like they could be okay. You know, because sounds like it's close to Rodriguez, right?
And yeah,
this is his baby.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but yes, without further ado, that leads us to the main event, with which is a tag match with Cage and a mystery partner versus Pentagon Dark and a mystery partner. Cage grabs a mic from his mother of his child and announces King Cuerno. Yeah, makes sense.
Sure.
His character, it works so well for his character. I mean, I know we've kind of wanted him to be kind of pushed up the card in terms of prominence, but to remind us that he's kind of like a hired killer still is good. I think it's still a part of his character that, sure, remind us of that.
Sure. I thought it kind of did, like, I feel like, you know, sort of the King Cuerno babyface transition, this kind of stalls that a little bit because he wouldn't be... Like, a babyface is not a mercenary, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
So they definitely talked about him as this hired gun. So they're implying that he's getting some kind of kickback or something for participating in this.
Yeah.
But it certainly doesn't push any of his story forward.
Yeah. No, there's a lot of shades of gray this episode.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so he announces him, Pentagon Dark, with a really nice low-key start to his promo, and he kind of dipped it in. Like, he would kind of build the volume and intensity a bit, but he had that kind of real kind of quiet psychopath to him today. It was really good.
And I loved that he was doing it with no partner. Just partner necessary.
Yeah, great choice.
Yeah, so good.
And this kind of went as would be expected, because he's off to that fast start. The crowd is really heated up. Takes fighting to the crowd, and here's I thought this was interesting, that something we had noticed that we saw as like an issue is Vampiro starts calling out Pentagon Dark's kind of pandering to the crowd and him being like this kind of fan favorite. So do you think this is part of the plot?
I think it was I know the moment you're talking about, when I felt like
this guy set me on fire.
yeah, exactly. it was Stryker was saying that, like, oh, he is the crowd Pentagon Jr.'s tag team partner, and Vampiro in response is like, this is a guy who set me on fire. Do you think he cares at all about the believers? And so Vampiro was trying to, like, sort of dispel
The obvious things that we had been seeing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So
interesting that he brought that it came up.
Yeah. Now, it would almost seem strange to me if this is going to be the last. You know,
you say every episode, you say if theoretically speaking,
I know,
we don't have to get together for 2 goddamn hours in my busy week ever again, God willing.
It does feel like Pentagon and Vampiro would be a good match to have in the final Ultima Lucha Quattro.
Say again, Pentagon and who?
Vampiro. No, you don't like it at all.
If it ends up being. If it ends up being the ribbon on the bow, then I guess it makes sense. But I think Pentagon will have had to have lost the belt before then.
Yes. Which you don't anticipate.
Maybe. I don't know. Hey, that's one of the great things that's going on right now. Aside from a couple possible plots I can imagine playing out some way, there's a lot. I don't know what's going to go on. And I think that's a real kind of accomplishment.
That's true. That's a good point. It's very hard to predict where any of this is going in a good way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Not in a way that's just like it doesn't matter because they just completely keep betraying our trust, but in a way that is fun, exciting.
Yeah.
Exciting
to follow. I think it has been a while since we were able to say that. Mm-hmm. So Cage hits that really great second rope suplex, which, leads to the starts of this double team as it should. King Cuerno has a nice drop kick, I noticed. We're seeing a lot of those hope shots from Pentagon cut short until he starts to build up and hits that kind of code red off the top for a near fall. And then King Cuerno they're able to slow him down, hits his thrill of the kill, no cover, just walks out with the deer head. My job's done here. That was great.
And this is beginning to make sense because I was a little worried about, if Pentagon wins this clean, then that really hurts the other two performers, like their, their stock. But this ended exactly as it should. You got two guys, a double team, even if it was like Ricky Mundo and Mariposa or something. Then I could see
Arrhenius.
Arrhenius and Ricky Moon. I could see it. That Pentagon comes out on top. But the fact that it was these two, top of the card. Exactly. Like this is exactly how it should end. A good effort by Pentagon, but ultimately he just can't match up, and you get and he end up getting destroyed.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. So Cage hits his finisher for the win. As I said, looks like this feud will continue. We were concerned about that, but from what they've done here, looks like it makes sense. Cage throws a couple chairs into the ring post-match, sets up the solo concerto, hits two of them. So that's why I said this should lead to one more match, but with, some sort of wrinkle, some sort of... type of match, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Man, those chair shots, they seemed... a little too real.
Yeah, that's where the concerto gives you that automatic smash, right?
Yeah.
I thought they've done away with it in WWE, but I think that's a fairly safe move because you've got the you can hit all chair there and it's just going to make a nasty noise, right?
Yeah, I guess that's true. You got to be accurate though.
Yeah, so again, a good little match that went as it should have. Like didn't really try to reinvent the wheel. You've got the baby face who's kind of going to show that I'm not afraid of you guys. I can do this by myself. But it made sense, as you said, that you shouldn't beat these two guys.
Totally. What was your favorite match of this episode?
I think I will go with Daga PJ Black. Just because it surprised me. Just because it surprised me in terms of the work they were doing, and I love Daga. I love Daga.
Yeah.
And the trios match was good. Yeah. But that was a surprise. Went in a direction I didn't think it would.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I liked all three. I'd probably lean towards the trios match. That's just me. But
sure.
I thought overall good strong episode. We got a couple of vignettes.
Strong episode match wide. Wait. There's vignette to come.
Oh my god.
The last segment. We're this in a desert.
Crown. This is the cherry on the sundae for this whole
episode. Yeah, I know for you. I was totally thinking. You know, I could just see you with your arms crossed as soon as there's no blood or no death count doesn't go up. Just your arm crossed and frump.
I was annoyed. I was like, oh man, nobody died this episode. That's a shame.
We're in a desert in some sort of mine shaft somewhere. Obvious, just Indiana Jones aesthetic, really on the nose, really on the nose.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't even hiding it. Johnny Mundo
is dressed as
Indiana Jones, with the whip and everything. He says he hates snakes, enters the throne room. Vibora's there, and he begins the beatdown, gets Johnny Mundo, looks like he's about to choke him out. Taya grabs a belt, hits him, knocks him down, and then grabs a sword. He says, what did we say? We got to take the head off the snake. I'm like, sweet, merciful Christ. We see a green, gooey slice, and Drago watches from his chains. No more Vibora. We see his disembodied snake head. That's the second disembodied snake head we've seen.
Oh, this is true.
Trivia buffs.
That's right. And taken by the same sword. in fact.
Yes, you're right. Mm-hmm. And Max's beloved murder count goes up by one just in the nick of time.
I couldn't believe it. Every episode.
And this one isn't a kind of is it or isn't it sacrifice.
Real, it's the real deal. Yeah.
Yeah.
I loved it. I loved it. Yeah.
Again, did not see this coming.
Want one person to go down every ep. Mary Posa is not making it through this. I guarantee you. She is not. She is not going to survive.
And that roster is depleting. If you're thinking of, well, like there's the permanent depletions, but also the kind of put on the shelf depletions, we've got to be into double digits by now.
In terms of how many people have died?
Or broken arms or broken ankles.
Oh, God, I know. It's crazy.
It's pretty great. It's pretty awesome.
I love it. I love it. Dude, my dream for this is that we end up with only two wrestlers alive at the end.
I thought you said it was going to be Antonio Cueto just putting a gun to his head.
Oh, that's right.
In the center of the ring.
That is so funny.
Sorry, we're closed. Like a shout out to the end of the last Cheers episode. That's the last thing Sam Malone said. Somebody knocks on the temple door. Sorry, they were closed. Cut to black.
I love it. I love it. I mean, who knows what's going to happen? But yeah, but it's just like, I cannot, like, the Bora, like, there was probably, like, for,
I know. It looked like he was all of a sudden going to become a bigger player, a more prominent character.
Totally, totally. He definitely upped his game in terms of, like, his abilities. I love that they're still willing to, like, kill characters for reasons that don't have to do with contracts and stuff, you know?
Yeah. Pretty awesome. Mm-hmm. Pretty awesome. Good little finish. Again, another episode with direction, and that's
totally.
This is good. This is a good TV show right now.
Yeah, no kidding. Oh, did you? I heard a rumor that the pizza guy, remember the pizza mm-hmm. guy from before, was actually Kiku Taro.
Really?
Yeah.
Where did you hear that?
The internet. I don't know.
Yeah.
Some wrestling website.
Interesting.
I don't know. I've never seen
if somebody knows. If somebody knows out there, let us know, guys. That's hilarious. Mm. That'd be awesome. That'd be great.
Totally.
Imagine a Lucha Underground Kikutaro mashup.
Oh, yeah.
Like if they kind of took his character, but just kind of Lucha Underground-sized it.
Oh, my God. It'd be
amazing. What would that look like?
The vignettes and stuff?
Yeah. You'd just be sitting in the corner with that blank stare on the, on the mask while everything's happening.
Oh, yeah. It would be awesome. Yeah. Oh, man. Crazy. Crazy.
Yeah.
So many characters are dying.
Yes.
And you know what's really weird? I was really surprised that the Rabbit Tribe did not win again. Because we still have not really had any sort of payoff for their transition mm-hmm. yet. So mm-hmm. something has to change with those guys.
Yeah. Well, we know that there's two other characters waiting in the wings.
Oh, yeah.
And how they get involved remains mm-hmm. to be seen. And I think that will be, you know, they clearly haven't powered up, as you say. But I think that will be when that moment happens, that's when they kind of become more of a major player, I suppose.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, those guys are destined to become Trios champs here at some point, right?
Maybe. They had their shot today.
Yeah.
That makes me think it's a little less likely. I thought it was possible they could have won today just because they'd already set up the issues with the Trios champs. But
yeah,
I don't know, we'll see.
They're the only true Trios team right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they
until Matanza's sacrificed army rises from the dead,
mm.
or Dark Phoenix starts to build up his army from that'd the other cool. side.
Also, we haven't seen Aerostar this whole.
I know. I was kind of hoping that's who it was going to be at the end when I started to see just like that the darkness and like a bit of a light.
Yeah.
And, like, he's got to show up eventually. The ageless wonder.
Yeah, Aerostar, we still don't know what happened to the gauntlet. We're still very confused about what's going on with Ricky Mundo and the doll. Any other stories that we still have going on here? I guess Marty's going to come back.
Yeah, Drago's still in chains.
That's right.
You know, Marty wants Pentagon's teeth. Yeah, Ivelisse. She's working on that robot in her garage. Oh, or was that was just something we created.
Yeah, that's right.
Lots to think about.
Huh. Cool. Oh, Exolicious and Jack Evans is also of this strange feud.
Jack Evans watching him from up in the shadowed corner by himself while he participates in some sort of homoerotic thing. We didn't really talk about that, but how is that not the first thing anybody thinks?
No kidding.
Anyways.
Cool. All right. Well, if people want to tell you how crazy you are, Travis, about your lack of snowflakes this episode, how can they? What's the best method for them to get in contact with you?
First of all, on Twitter, search for us. Just search for Lucha Afterground. It is @_ Lucha Afterground. Follow us on the PWO Network. Also follow the Place to Be Nation Network. Go to placetobenation.com. For all your podcast needs. Follow the iTunes, SoundCloud, wherever you find it.
Alrighty. Well, that's it from us. We'll be here next week.